now tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Okay, so in Christianity, the idea of salvation by grace is a central tenet, meaning that it is one of the core values of our faith. The belief is that individuals are saved through faith in Jesus Christ, not by their own good works or merits. Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 9 in the Bible is often cited in this context. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Let us unpack the push and pull of grace and works. So we briefly, I think it was like really, really briefly brushed over the idea of grace and works yesterday. But today we are going to solely focus on what those two concepts mean, how they coexist, whether they coexist when it comes to our salvation. Are you ready, Pastor?
All right, I'm ready.
Awesome, awesome. So what is the relationship between grace and works? Let's just start with that. What is the relationship between grace and works?
That's a very important question.
Mm-hmm.
If there is no relationship, there is relationship.
Mm.
That's the answer.
Mm, mm, mm.
There is no relationship as far as salvation is concerned.
Okay.
And when we say salvation, we mean deliverance from sin.
Mm.
We mean being justified, being forgiven our sins by a holy God, by a holy God. You cannot be forgiven because of anything that you have done.
Mm.
Nothing. It won't work.
Mm.
You have to be forgiven gratuitously. Mm. Or say, you have to be forgiven freely.
Mm, I see.
This God who forgives us, he forgives us freely. And maybe that's where now we come to talk about grace. Grace is totally a divine thing. Mm. It's not a human thing. Mm. Grace is heavenly. It is not earthly. There was no grace on earth.
Mm-mm.
When we sinned, there was no grace on earth. It had to come from heaven. The grace had to come from heaven.
Mm.
So it is the grace, the God that had compassion over sinners,
mm-hmm.
who took the first move to forgive us our sins by grace. So the ones forgiven are not even believers.
Mm.
The ones forgiven, as far as the salvation of the world through Jesus Christ is concerned. Because when John saw Jesus at the river of Jordan,
mm-hmm.
John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world."
Mm.
Where was the world by that time? Was the world so close to Jesus?
Mm-mm.
Where was Jesus going to take away the sin of the world? Isn't it, since he is a lamb, he would have to die on the cross?
Right.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He is loving something which is unlovable.
Right.
That's where grace is.
Mm.
Grace loves the undeserving. And forgives them their sins even before they have repented.
Mm.
Before they have said sorry,
they are forgiven. Mm, mm,
mm. That's great. That's grace. That's grace. So, the dying of Jesus on the cross and his sinless life, because he lived on earth a sinless life.
Mm-hmm.
That sinless life he lived on earth was a gift to sinners. He came to live a holy life like God and yet a human being. That life was for me, a sinner.
Mm-hmm.
And then his death on the cross, it was also my death, mm-hmm. but it became his death. I have a quotation from a recognized scholar. Do you want me to read?
Yes, please.
Can I read?
Yes, sir.
they call her Ellen G. White.
Ah, she sounds familiar.
She writes in Desire of Ages, page 25, mm-hmm. paragraph 2. Mm. She says, Christ was treated as we deserve, that we might be treated as he deserved.
Wow.
He was condemned for our sins in which he had no share, that we might be justified by his righteousness in which we had no share. He suffered the death that was ours, that we might receive the life that was his.
Wow.
With his stripes, we are healed. You see? So what happened to Jesus was supposed to have happened to me, a sinner. But then it happened to him who never sinned at all. And according to God, to his grace, he was doing this for a sinful world. That's where Christianity has made a mistake. Do you know that Christianity has made a mistake?
What is the mistake, Pastor?
The mistake of Christianity thinks that its works, the works of Christianity, are the same as grace. That's a big trouble, big problem, big sin. Actually, I'll call it a big sin of Christianity. When Christians think that what they do in churches is grace, when Christians think that how they behave without sinning is grace, they are making a very big mistake.
Right.
Because the works of these Christians, including myself, the works that we do are imperfect works. They are sinful works. They are unholy works. Isaiah 64, verse 6 calls them filthy rags.
Right.
It says our righteousness is what? Filthy rags. So which works could we build into our salvation? Which works?
Truly, truly.
It must be the works of God only. The works of God only are grace. And my salvation is by the works of God and also by faith alone. By faith alone. So let's start from there.
Right.
I want to hear from you.
I think it makes it heavier. The quote that you read from Ellen G. White made the whole idea of grace so much heavier, because when you hear that we are getting what was for him and he got what we deserved, and it wasn't good things that we deserved. We deserved terrible things because of a sin that exists in us, and Jesus, God, with the love that he has, said, you know what? I love them too much. I don't want to let them go. So I'm just going to give them this. Even if they don't deserve it, I still want to give them because I love them. That is so heavy. And it's something that should move you to want to be so good to God as well. To say, I didn't deserve this, but I want to be good to you because you've been so good to me when I didn't deserve it. And it makes it heavier. The whole concept of grace becomes heavier. It's now not a joke anymore. It's not a joke. This is life and death. And, you know, we got life because he chose our death. That's so crazy. Crazy. So,
and you know, she emphasized that she died for sins which she did not share in. She did not participate in those sins.
No, not even a stake in those sins.
And he says he also justified us by a righteousness that we did not take part in. We did not participate in his righteousness. He simply gave us his righteousness.
He said, here you go. See,
here, take this cloth of mine. Give me your cloth. Give me your dirty cloth. I'll put it on. I'll put on your dirty cloth. Take my white cloth, my heavenly cloth. Take it.
It takes me back to the children of Israel while they were still in Egypt during the last plague, when the angel of death was taking the lives of the firstborns. And they received an instruction, cover your door with the blood, right?
The blood.
So the angel passed over their homes, not because of who they were, not because of whether they had faith, but because the blood of Christ was protecting them from death. And that whole story encapsulates what grace means. Just that you already know that grace just comes through when you do not deserve it. Wow, that is amazing.
Amen. Now the question is, where are our works?
Yes.
How do they relate to this grace?
That was the next question, to say then how do we reconcile the need for good works when we are saved by grace?
My answer to you will be, let's not hasten to reconcile grace and works. Let's not be quick to reconcile grace and works.
Okay.
Because the first question you're going to be asked is, which works are you reconciling grace with? Which works? Whose works? Which works? And where are those works? You see, I wanted to let you know that works of human beings are sinful, imperfect, inadequate, unserving, insufficient, alienating, encapsulated in hypocrisies and lies.
Wow.
In unholiness and wickedness, and almost always leading to death. Those are human works.
We have nothing. We really have nothing to offer. Ooh, guys.
we have nothing to offer towards the grace of God. There is no input. Grace of God. The grace of God, it requires no input from a human being. No. The grace of God requires no input, and it totally excludes any works.
Wow.
The grace of God totally excludes any works of any human being. The problem, I was telling you that time, that the sin of Christianity, I'm talking about entire Christianity, including you and me, we are Christians.
Right.
The sin that we have committed is that we think that when the Holy Spirit works in us to make us new, to change our lives, to convert us, we think that the works that we do there now, from Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 25 there, the fruit of the Spirit is joy, is love, is peace, is what? We think that that whole thing is now going to contribute to grace of God. No. It's just a fruit of what the grace of God has done.
Wow.
The grace of God has accomplished the work already. And I can tell you that my righteousness is in heaven. Is in Jesus. Not in me. He will only impart some of it to me as I go along with my life.
Right.
And there will be no day when I shall say, today I am as perfect as Jesus. Today I'm as sinless as Jesus. It's not possible. My works are works that God is working in me progressively, but they have no contribution to what Jesus did on the cross.
Right.
No. We don't contribute to our salvation. It is all the work of God. Do you know that in John chapter 6, verse 28, the Jews asked Jesus a question?
Okay.
The question was, Lord, tell us, what works shall we do that we might do the works of God?
Mm-hmm.
They are asking what works they can do in order for them to be found doing the work of
God.
God. Do you know what he answered in verse 29?
What did he say?
John 6, verse 29. He said, this is God's work, that you believe in him whom he has sent. This is God's work, that you should believe in him whom God has sent.
Mm-hmm.
Your faith in the one that God has sent, that's the work that you are going to do. And do you know that in chapter 8, verse 23-24 of John, Jesus said, you are of this world. You are born here on the planet. I am from above. I came from heaven. So I'm telling you that if you don't believe that I am he says, if you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. If you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins.
As simple as that.
As simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be out of your sins, believe who I am. That I am your righteousness. That I am your power to get out of sin. That I am the one who can change your life. That while as I change your life, I have already forgiven you your sins by the grace of my Father. Your sins were forgiven even before the world was created. Because my Father and I already saw you sinning before you were born.
Yes.
We actually saw you sinning before we created Adam and Eve. And then we took care of that by grace from eternity. We said, let's love them anyway. Let's love them. And we created this method of dying for you.
Right.
In principle, I died for you even before I died on the cross. So, if you don't believe in me, you die in your sins. So, the works that we have on the part of us as Christians are not contributing to the grace of God. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing. That one is out completely. And there's something which I wanted to know because you indicated somewhere in the documents you sent me that we would have to look at theology and religion. You remember?
Yes, yes.
So I wanted you to make you understand that in theology, sin is studied under hamartology. Hamartology is the study of sin. And so in the study of sin, we talk about the original sin. And the original sin, according to those who started defining it, is genetic. It is genetic. It's transferred genetically. But that's not true. Because when my child is born, I don't pass germs of sins. I mean, sperms of sins to my child. Hello?
Yes, 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 I'm here.
That's a very wrong theology. The original sin theology.
I'm still trying to catch my breath because I'm shocked because what? That's what I've learned all these years.
I cannot transfer genes of sin to my son, to my daughter. Genes of sin. They are not genes of sin. It's true that we are sinners. But how did we become sinners? We became sinners through something that happened outside us.
Wow.
I didn't eat a fruit in Eden. But I am a sinner. This sin, it does not move in blood. Hello?
Yeah.
Sin, it does not move in blood. It is not a physiological thing. So Christianity has taught wrong theology. Hello? Christianity has taught us that we are born with sin in us. Who transferred that sin in me? My father.
Did it not get transferred from Adam until...
My friend, sin is a principle. Sin is?
A principle.
Sin is a principle. It is a power that became part of the nature of human beings because of disobedience to the law of God.
Is it?
God said, don't do this. And somebody did that. So sin came in. And sin is always the breaking of the law. So what I'm trying to say there is that in theology, they talk about things that are not true. We cannot inherit spiritual condition,
but
in terms of germs or blood cells.
Okay, by coming like this,
you know, we think that the Holy Spirit has to bring grace in us and infuse something special that is going to counteract in our veins, in our blood, counteract the sin that is moving in us. It's wrong.
Okay. Can I interrupt you there? I just want to ask for the sake of my clarity, and in case someone else might be confused. So are we not born with the natural inclination to sin? And doesn't that mean that we have inherited that nature? Because it has to come from somewhere, right? Because of what was committed in the Garden of Eden, we are all children of sin. We are under the father of sin, or Adam. So then that inclination to sin, whether we have sinned or not, has been passed on to everyone. And then you commit the sin once you do your first sin, but we already have that nature to want to sin. Does that not make it genetic?
Listen to this. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says that sin came into the world through one man.
One man, yes.
And death through the same man. But now, in the other verses below there, it says that life has also come with one man.
Okay.
Which is who?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
So you find that for us to be saved by the grace of God,
mm-hmm.
by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, we are saved, or we are forgiven, we are justified before Jesus does anything in us, outside us. So grace took place outside us. It even functioned in Palestine, in Galilee there, Jerusalem. The sinless man was walking there, but here in Africa he didn't reach here. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. I'm listening.
He was born a Jew. I'm not a Jew.
Mm-hmm.
So, the grace has happened outside me, totally outside me. But its grace is sufficient for me. Are you there?
Mm.
So the sin also came through one man. It is that man who sinned, not me. But when that man sinned, then the nature of human beings took sinful nature out of that one man, not through transference of sexual things. No. You can't say, I have given birth to a prostitute when you have a baby in your home.
Right.
You say, my baby is a prostitute. Can you say that?
Mm-mm.
Who told you that your baby is a prostitute? You know, when babies, we give birth to girls, they become prostitutes. Is that true?
Mm-mm.
You see, we have to understand that our depravity sinful depravity, sinful nature, the sinfulness came in because of one man, not because of a lineage of men. It's just because of one man, that Adam. So righteousness also, salvation also comes because of one man. And that man is outside us until we get him in.
That's interesting.
So it's when we get him in that the works now begin to change. When that man enters into our life by the Holy Spirit, then the verifiable evidence of grace is there. We see the works, the good works, the joy, the love, the fellowship, the kindness. All that takes place, but it is not responsible for saving us.
Right.
It is just a result of the salvation that took place in Jesus Christ.
Now we learn something new every day. Okay, before we conclude, I want to ask one more question, Pastor. So then, understanding all of this, how can we avoid falling into the trap that the Pharisees fell into, where we now prioritize the idea of being good people or doing good things? Because as much as we know that we do not earn our salvation, sometimes we can still think we want to put extra effort for the sake of being worthy, right? And that's something that the Pharisees did. They prioritized following the rules of the church, the law of God, and all of that, and they neglected so much more that was important. So how can we avoid falling into such a trap where we accept grace, but we still know that we need to be good people, but we do not focus on that and then overlook the grace in the first place?
Jesus says in, I think it should be Isaiah 45 verse 22, it says, look unto me and be saved. Look unto me and be saved. And when you come to John 3, verses 14, 15, 16, he says, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man is going to be lifted up, so that whoever looks to him or looks at him and believes in him should not perish, but have ever
lasting life.
So the idea is, look to Jesus.
Okay.
Focus on Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
When we focus on Jesus, we do not any longer focus on ourselves.
Right.
We focus on Jesus. And he is the one focusing on us. Do you see what is happening?
Mm-hmm.
I am focusing on Jesus, and Jesus is focusing on me. And he says, when you believe in me, you are already in me. So we go into Jesus by faith, and he comes into our life by residence. He actually comes by the Holy Spirit and stays in us. Why is he coming to stay in us? Not because he wants to forgive us. He already did that on the cross, universally for every sinner. But he's coming in us to make us more like himself, to change us, to bring heaven into our lives. Because by faith, we have also joined heaven already. We are in heaven. By faith, we are in heaven already. Do you know that the radio you are working for teaches a very important lesson called the heavenly sanctuary?
Yeah.
That heavenly sanctuary is a very important lesson, because from the courtyard where the lamb was being slaughtered,
yes,
the sinner was enveloped by a fence of white fence, meaning that he was already accepted by God as he sheds the blood here. He has already been accepted when we're going into the courtyard. But the first room and the second room are in heaven. So that's where Jesus went when he left the cross. So we were accepted right there at the cross. But he took the blood, not physically, but spiritually. He took the blood there. He took the sacrifice to the Father inside there. So that we are now accepted. We are accepted at the presence of God, at the mercy seat. We are accepted there. And he has said to the Father, I can't leave them alone. I need to be with them all the time. And the Father said, let the Holy Spirit and be with them. So he came, he comes and he resides in me and he changes my life.
Wow. That's beautiful.
And he doesn't change it. He doesn't change it on a single day. It's on day-to-day basis so that my works become the works of God as well.
That's just a beautiful, that idea that Christ wants to be with us is just heartwarming. And yeah, today I learned a lot. I am still processing and digesting. I'm processing and digesting. But thank you so much. I think sometimes we don't really get into the nitty-gritties of a lot of our doctrines and how they're connected to what scripture actually says and all of that. Right. And it's important so that we help each other grow the right way. So thank you so much for that, Pastor Chiwanda. And I'm looking forward to tomorrow's discussion. But for today, God bless you.
Amen. Thank you so much. God bless you too.
Thank you. That was Pastor Chiwanda, and we were talking grace and works.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.